Welcome to Calvary Church, where we are dedicated to loving God and loving people. If you want to know more about us, please check us out online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Calvary and happy Thanksgiving. I am especially thankful to be sharing with you here this morning. I'm always thankful when I get to be a part of this, be able to speak and open God's word. But I'm especially thankful today, and I'll tell you why. I was originally supposed to be in kids' church today, working in front of all the kids in our big-time kids' ministry. In fact, I agreed to volunteer for the whole month of October. And as much as I enjoy being on stage in front of the kids, and I really do, I now know why our faithful leader, our children's director, Tessa Pullman, asked me to commit to the month of October in its entirety. And that's because she has a very unique theme this month. Every week for the month of October, she is using candy or some sort of sugary goodness to teach the kids the Bible. Now, just to clarify, she's not handing out candy to every boy and girl that comes in, so mums and dads, you can collectively let out a sigh of relief. We're not sending your kids home hopped up on sugar, but rather she's using candy and a variety of confectionery delights to teach the kids that the same God who created the entire universe is the God that created them exactly how they are. Sounds great, right? So why would I be thankful that I'm missing out on a Sunday full of treats? Well, maybe I'll put it this way. This is how she pitched it to me. Mark, would you, this is my Tessa voice apparently, Mark, would you be the main teacher in October's unit? It's a unit called Custom Creations. We're going to teach the kids that they are God's children, that he uniquely designed them and in his image exactly how they are. And I said, yeah, absolutely, I'm in. What a great message. So fast forward to the first week of this unit, which was last Sunday. And I was there, and we began to teach the kids, and we're talking about each person's uniqueness. And I said to the kids, there's no one exactly like you. There's only one you. You are you, and that's it. And we used the example of an ice cream sundae and the enormous variety that ice cream sundaes come in. You could serve an ice cream sundae in a different bowl. Each bowl could be different. You could have your base ice cream in a variety, hundreds of flavors. And on your ice cream sundae, you could put all sorts of different flavors of syrups. You could put different sprinkles, different colored sprinkles, different type of toppings. Every ice cream sundae is different. And then we went on to tell them about all the different flavors that God used to create them. That there's only one them. Different eye colors, different personalities, different hair colors, different skills, and some even are made with sprinkles, freckles, right? So we're going through all that. Then, with the help of a volunteer, we emptied a 750 milliliter bottle of caramel syrup on my head, at which point the kids competed to see who could throw and stick the most colored mini marshmallows to the rotating human ice cream sundae. Yes. If you're wondering what that feels like, I am now quite familiar with the term tarred and feathered. Oh, and did I mention we have two services? If this is your first time watching, we have two services every Sunday morning at Calvary Church at 9 o'clock and 10:30. So I got to do that twice. And although I tried to wash up as best as I could here at the church, I had a few errands to do before going home. So by the time I got home, it got to the point where it was 50-50 as to whether after each blink my eyes would even open. It got slower and slower and slower. It was a sticky, interesting mess. But that is why I'm thankful to be here this morning sharing with you where we only talk about grown-uppy things. And I probably already botched it because grown-uppy is probably not a very grown-uppy word, but here we go. I tell you that story, I say all that. The truth is I loved every minute of it. And what I'm really thankful for on Thanksgiving Day is I'm thankful for the level of care, the level of attention and deliberate focus that Calvary Church and our lead pastor, Stephen McDonald, and of course Tessa Pullman, our children's director, puts on ministering to kids and their families. For that, I am thankful. So while the kids are learning about their unique identity in God this month, we're doing something different. This is the second episode of our month-long message series called Faithfulness. And we're using 2 Thessalonians as the backbone of this theme, and it's for good reason. I'm going to give you a little background on the church or the letters to the Thessalonians. See, Paul had visited this city during his ministry, and he preached there. And if you remember, not that long ago when we were going through the book of Acts, we know that Paul preached in the synagogue in Thessalonica, all of which are correct pronunciations of this city, depending on which website you check to get the correct pronunciation. I'm going with Thessalonica because it sounds like harmonica. Some of you know. Paul preached in the synagogue in Thessalonica for 3 consecutive Sabbath days. We also know that Paul stayed there for some time afterwards because not only did some of the Jews who heard Paul preach become Christ followers, but so did some of the Gentiles. And even though this ministry, while he was there, was successful, we also know that there was a strong opposition to what was going on, especially Jewish opposition because of their resentment towards Paul that he had won over so many of the Jews that had heard him preach. And because of this opposition, Paul wisely left the city. But the truth is, Paul didn't like that he had to leave before these new Christians were really established in their new faith. And although there's evidence that Paul intended to return to them, his own sickness prevented him from doing so. And it was at that point that he sent Timothy in his place. He sent Timothy to go and to encourage the church, but also to come back and report to Paul what was going on. And when Timothy returned to Paul with the good news that the members of this church were standing firm in their new faith, that's when Paul wrote the first letter to the Thessalonians. And the second letter, 2 Thessalonians, soon followed after that. It's important to note, I think, that even though Paul left due to this opposition, the opposition itself didn't disappear when he left. It remained. And so the faithfulness that is emphasized in these letters to the Thessalonians is in the wake of, or as a result of, the persecution that they were still undergoing from the Greek and Roman and probably Jewish neighbors all around them. So since it's Thanksgiving today, we're going to focus on gratitude and having a thankful outlook as we proceed through this faithfulness message series. You know, growing up, I always loved Thanksgiving, and it could be because I got a double dose of Thanksgiving, and I don't mean like double dose like there was leftovers from the turkey dinner. I mean Thanksgiving happened twice in our family. Thanksgiving happened every year on the second Monday of October, which is where we're at right now, but it also happened on the fourth Thursday of every November because my dad is American. So as a result, whenever possible, we had Thanksgiving in October with our Canadian relatives and grandparents and the whole bit. And whenever possible, we also had Thanksgiving in November with my American relatives and grandparents and the whole bit. So I guess we were just a really thankful family. Every Thanksgiving, my dad this. Maybe this happens in your home as well. I don't know. But before, you know, we would sit down to have dinner, but before we would even pray or give thanks for our dinner, my dad would say, let's just go around the table and everybody say one thing that they're thankful for. Now, I always wanted to go first or as early as possible because you never wanted to just repeat what someone else said. The first person, almost always, the first person would just say, I'm just thankful for, they would gesture around the table, my family gathered here today, and everybody, oh yes, this is such a great day. That was the best one. Everybody wanted that one. But once someone said that, it was off the table. It didn't matter if you were thankful for your family, you couldn't repeat. Even if you thought you were more thankful for your family than the family member who was already thankful for their family, you couldn't. You couldn't do it. And if you were too far down around the table, the thing you could say you were thankful for got less and less relevant. All the more relatable ones, all the universal ones, all the big ones were taken, and you were left with the more obscure or more specific ones, like, And I tried to embellish to make it seem important, but it would always come out more like, I'm just thankful for Velcro. I think it's really making a difference out there. No, nobody was relating that or going, oh, that's so nice. No, it was just like, okay, next. So you always wanted to go as early as possible. You learned to sit as close to the immediate left of my dad as possible because it always went clockwise. Otherwise, you were left with something like that. But we were a thankful family, and showing thanks was an important thing in our family. If I forgot to say thank you for something, my mom would immediately remind me. But she would remind me using this expression. She would say, Mark, mind your P's and Q's. Mind your P's and Q's. Have you heard this expression? Mind your P's and Q's. Now, I don't know if it was my mom who told me this, or if I assumed on my own what mind your P's and Q's meant, but I always assumed that mind your P's and Q's sounded like mind your please and thank yous, P's and Q's, please and thank yous. I assumed that's all she was saying. After all, that's when it came up. That's when she said it, when I forgot to say thank you. Well, Mother, if you're watching online today, you might be surprised to know that the 17th century has something to say about this, and you had to know I was going to investigate the origins of an idiom. P's and Q's originally stood for pints and quarts, and to mind your P's and Q's was to behave properly at the tavern and not get drunk. And so, when I forgot to say thank you, my mom would accidentally tell me not to get drunk, which, growing up in a very non-drinking family, this is just extra funny to me. So thank you, Mom, for that. So how does thankfulness play into our series called Faithfulness? Where do those two words intersect? So we're going to start with the most obvious at the very beginning of 2 Thessalonians, when Paul says, "We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all you have for one another is increasing." What Paul is doing here is he's showing thankfulness from a distance. This is what I mean by that. Have you ever seen somebody say something or do something, and they do it in a way that you're just glad to be associated with them? You're like, yes, what they said, how they said, I couldn't have said it that well. What they say, that's what I mean. They represent me. Well, here is the church in Thessalonica going through persecution, but because of their faithfulness and because of their perseverance, Paul is saying, thank you. Thank you for holding on. Thank you for going through what you're going through. I'm with them. Their faithfulness represents my faithfulness. Thank you. But Paul actually had a real gift when it came to showing thankfulness. If anyone had reason to complain about life, it was Paul. Paul has multiple accounts of his own persecution, his own beatings and imprisonments and more. But instead of complaining, Paul's voice rang out time and time and time again in thankfulness. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, "Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I don't know. Is this true for you? Are you good at giving thanks for everything all the time? I don't think I do that. Thanksgiving wasn't a once-a-year celebration over a turkey dinner for Paul. Thanksgiving was a daily decision that changed him and brought peace or joy or both in every situation. You know, nothing turns us into bitter, selfish, dissatisfied people more quickly than an ungrateful heart. But the flip side is also true. Nothing will do more to restore contentment and the joy of our salvation than a true spirit of thankfulness. Romans 1:21 says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." An ungrateful heart is a heart that grows cold towards God. It is a heart that has forgotten how dependent we actually are on God for everything. From one end of the Bible to the other, we are commanded to be thankful. Thankfulness is the natural outflowing of a heart that is in tune with God. Billy Graham said, "A spirit of thanksgiving is always the mark of a joyous Christian." So this morning, we're going to go through four things to keep our eyes open for, four things to be thankful for, and four things, potentially, that you could use when you sit around your table and someone says, let's go around the table and say something we could be thankful for. So number one, thank God for your stuff. Simple. That's the most easy thing to be thankful for, right? Let's get the materialistic stuff out of the way. But the truth is, we never really seem satisfied. We never have enough. We're not happy with what we have. It doesn't matter whether we're rich or poor, whether we own or rent, whether we drive or take transit, whether we have a great job or we have a hanging on by a thread job, it's never enough to satisfy us. We're not content. The truth is, no matter what, we are better off when we realize that all we have has been given to us by God. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 says, "Wealth and honor come from you. We give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Everything comes from you." I'm sure you've heard the stories or seen the interviews of some person or people who you've elevated, and for whatever reason, you've put them up on a pedestal, and you're like, they've got it all. And then when the story continues or the interview continues and you hear them actually voice how none of that, whether it's success or wealth, none of that has brought them happiness, that they still feel empty, that it never fulfilled them. And we're thrown off by that. But the flip side of that is also true. I'm sure you've seen or read about someone where the contentment found by some people who have almost nothing, they have so very little, but are filled with contentment. And you just wonder, how is that possible? Yet that contentment coming from somebody who has almost nothing, there's something appealing, there's something attractive. You can see the wealth in contentment, although they have nothing. And you might think to yourself that you could be content. If you could be content, then thankfulness would follow. But it's actually the opposite. True thankfulness for what you already have is your source for contentment. Philippians 4:12, "I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want." The problem is not in the having. The problem is not in the not having. The problem is in the level of thankfulness that we're able to express. Are you preoccupied with what you don't have in the pursuit of getting it, or have you learned to thank God for what you do have? Thanksgiving brings contentment. Number two, thank God for your peeps, your squad, your crew, your team, your tribe, your fam, whatever you call the people that surround you, thank God for them. It's so easy to take people for granted or even to complain or become angry because they don't meet our every wish. But we need to give thanks to those around us. We need to give thanks for our children, give thanks for our spouses, our relatives, our friends, our coworkers, others, whoever surrounds you and supports you and helps you in some way. Do you ever catch yourself being like, actually, let's make this easier. Do you know someone who is not you, who is so much quicker to tell you what is annoying about the people in their life than they are to tell you about the blessings that come from knowing the people they know? Do you know somebody like that? If you don't know somebody like that, then it's probably you. Do you ever catch yourself being that way? I've often wondered how many relationships have grown cold or even died because they are not deliberately expressing thanks to and for the people around them. You know, there's kind of a side comment in Acts chapter 28. There's mention of this group of believers, people that Paul had never met before, and they came out to greet him as he approached Rome. And this is what we read there. "At the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged." I can't help but notice that it says, Paul thanked God, and then it says, and was encouraged. It just as easily could have said that this encouraged Paul, and so he thanked God. But it's Paul thanked God, and then comes the encouragement. Intentionally thank God for those who touch your life, because thanksgiving brings encouragement. Number three, thank God through your crap. Can I say that? I just did. There are worse words. You know what I'm saying. Trials, persecution, whatever you're going through. No matter how much we try to avoid difficulties, no one is exempt from some kind of troubles or trials in our lives. And this is where making thankfulness a decision really comes into play. Now, you may have heard me talk before, or some of our team talk about God sightings. We use this a lot. This is something we do with the kids at Big Time. We talk about God sightings to help develop their sense of God's presence in their lives. We encourage them to look at life with a different lens to put on their God sighting glasses, to see things they would have otherwise missed. And whether it's acknowledging God's creation and seeing the colors change in a tree or a flower growing through the crack of a sidewalk, things they would have walked by, instead they go, that's a God sighting, because that's God's creation. Or a good deed that happens towards them in life, instead of just going, oh, that was nice, they're like, that was a God sighting. The ability to declare, I sought God today. Being a thankful person is like that. It's not just something that you either come by naturally or you don't, nor is it a switch that you can flip on and activate that part of your DNA, which is thankfulness, but it's a daily decision, an exercise. And by working out that muscle of thankfulness, you can transform yourself to be a thankful person. You'll notice that number three wasn't thank God for your crap. It was thank God through your crap. And although there are examples in the Bible in life where you could argue that there are legitimate reasons to thank God for the trial that you're going through or the hardship that you're experiencing, the point is to remain in a state of thankfulness regardless of what life hands you. In the midst of those trials, we can thank God because there are still things to be thankful for. We know that He has promised to be with us at all times. We know that He's promised to help us. We know that He can use times of suffering to draw us closer to Him. In James chapter 1, 2 and 3, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." If we bring this back to Thessalonians again, Paul is writing these letters to encourage them while this church is going through persecution. In many parts of the world, and I'm talking about today in 2021, and in some ways increasingly so, it is dangerous to be a Christian. Persecution towards Christians is worse now in some cases than is ever mentioned in the Bible. Today, pastors are being thrown in prison by authorities in hopes of dismantling Christian churches. Today, girls as young as 11, 12 years old are kidnapped specifically from Christian families to be forcefully converted into other religions so that they can be married off or given away to older men against their will. In this past 18 months to 2 years, through COVID, where people were forced into lockdowns to stay in their homes, not allowed to leave at all in some countries, and the only way to survive was through the provisions that were delivered to them by the authorities, Christians were targeted and ignored, and supplies were not brought to them. The powers that be in those areas, realizing that they no longer needed to use imprisonment or beatings to get rid of Christians, but could simply starve them. And countries that are front and center in the news right now, today, because of governmental changes, there are Christians being hunted down like animals and are in hiding right now. These are some of the things that I deal with that come across my desk now in my new role, in my new job, where I find ways to allow Canadian Christians to help support our brothers and brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are undergoing this level of persecution. And I was forwarded a part of an email from a Christian in Afghanistan about a month ago. And this is the part I want to read to you. They say, "Thank you for your prayers. Most of us expect to meet Jesus in person within the next 2 weeks. With the threat, real threat, of death, the email starts with, thank you. You know, I'm thankful for the persecuted church. I'm not thankful that they're going through what they're going through, but I'm thankful almost in an inspirational way. I'm thankful to know that there is strength in Christ and an example to see it. I'm thankful to know that there are pillars of faith who live Jesus outwardly in all circumstances. I'm thankful that there are Christians who give their lives quite literally as evidence that what we believe is worth dying for. We've been using Paul as an example of someone who modeled his life in gratitude, but this isn't just a Paul trait. It was also Paul's instructions for the Thessalonians and indirectly instructions for us. In the first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul wrote this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 to 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Many Christians who suffer persecution have an outlook that we find hard to understand. They realize that Jesus himself suffered, so why should we expect anything different? They express thanks through their persecution. They express gratitude in the fact that they are sharing in Christ's suffering. When Paul wrote, "Give thanks in all circumstances," it was with the understanding and with the knowledge of what that church was actually going through with regards to persecution. So it wasn't a fluffy, you know, motivational poster on the wall thing to write. It wasn't said lightly. It was meant to provide hope. You can read the rest of both books of the Thessalonians and realize that Paul wrote it earnestly and with the intent of bringing hope, because thanksgiving brings hope. And I don't know what trials you might be facing today, but God does, and he loves you, and he's with you by his Holy Spirit. So cultivate a spirit of thankfulness even in the midst of trials or heartbreaks. Number four, last one. Thank God especially for his salvation in Jesus. When we receive a gift, a present, whatever, that's the easiest moment to show gratitude and say thank you. And God has given us the greatest gift of all, his Son, who died on the cross, who rose again so that we could know him personally and spend eternity in heaven with him. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." The Bible tells us that we are separated from God because we've sinned, but God loves us. God loves you. God loves me. And he wants us to be a part of his family forever. He loves us so much that he sent his only Son into the world to die and be the perfect sacrifice for our sins, to pay the punishment for our crimes. All we need to do is reach out in faith and accept Christ as our Savior and our Lord. But thankfulness for this can't come unless you've experienced it. So I'm going to ask you this. Have you opened your heart to Jesus? If not, turn to him today. Turn to him with a simple prayer of repentance and faith and thank him for what he's done for you. And if you do know Christ, how long has it been since you've actually thanked God for your salvation? We shouldn't let a day go by without thanking God for his mercy, thanking God for his grace to us in Jesus Christ. And that's three things right there that you can be thankful for in all circumstances. You can be thankful for your salvation, thankful for his mercy, thankful for his grace. Thanksgiving, giving thanks, to God for all his blessings should be one of the most distinctive marks of the follower of Jesus Christ. We simply can't allow ingratitude to harden our heart or hinder our relationship with God or our relationship with others. If we are to live our lives intentionally, giving thanks in all circumstances, then join me today. Let's take today's celebration, Thanksgiving, and choose to use it as day one of thanks living, giving thanks in our everyday and in our every circumstance. Pray with me. God, we thank you so much for this day of Thanksgiving, and we are choosing right now to turn Thanksgiving from a one-day event to an everyday, every circumstance lifestyle. God, we want to live in a thanks-living lifestyle. God, I pray for every person hearing this message today that we would realize the hope, the encouragement, and the contentment that comes from Thanksgiving. And God, we give you all the glory for this special day and choose to live our life outwardly for you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen.